Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshaies. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, everybody. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I have a call to action for you, and I just want to get it said before we get started. I want you to understand that, and I hope you fully understand the way I'm going to try to say this, because there's an urgency that we have to put to this call of action. You know, you can't wait to pay the water bill after you smell yourself. You can't wait to pay the water bill after you smell yourself. And the thing is, you got to make provisions before you need something so that something is in place so that you can use it to its most effective way, Thoughts, Love, and Perfection. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network, is trying to make provisions for all of us to have a voice. And we need your assistance. And you've been doing a great job in terms of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We've gone from one day a week to 3 days a week. Now starting Sunday, we'll be going 7 days a week. And we're in place so that you can have a voice that won't be, that there won't be any interference. That your voice will be heard loud and clear every time you need it to be heard. And it'll be heard because you send me emails. It'll be heard because you call me directly. It'll be heard because you call into the show. And it's time for us to recognize that we have to build things that are in place so that when stuff happens, we got an effective way to have our voices heard. And right now, stuff is happening. And we need to respond to it. And we have to keep on responding to it. And we have to build mechanisms to make sure that there's no interference when our voice is being heard. So I need you out there listening to me. I need you out there encouraging others to listen to me. I need you out there getting involved. I need you to listen to the calls of action and make things happen. We got to make things happen. I'm guaranteeing you that I'm going to always be here. 7 days a week, I'm going to be here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear. We can no longer remain quiet. This is not the environment to be silent. We have to be heard and heard in such a fashion that people will be put into motion and don't believe that their cover-ups will be allowed to exist. There are too many of us out there dying and being shot and killed in too many different fashions. I'm in total agreement. Dead is dead if it comes by someone of the same color or if it comes by a police officer. America needs to wake up. We can no longer be forced to or agree to there being so many murders happening in our society on a yearly basis. I was told every 28 minutes there's an African-American being shot by police officers in America. And someone has to stand up and say enough is enough. If you do not have the ability to be a police officer because you don't have the ability to wait to see and determine what's going on in a way that keeps people from being murdered and killed, then you need to step aside and not be a police officer. It is time for us to recognize that we need to make some serious adjustments in our society so that we recognize that all lives matter, but we're not going to sit by and watch black lives destroyed every day, day after day, while waiting for other people to decide when to make some changes. We have to be prepared and ready to man change, to man change so that our children, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins can have a life that they can feel free from the dangers of just walking the streets or driving to the corner store. At what point do we say enough is enough? We can no longer sit back and fat cat it on our middle class existence while other people are out there on the front lines fighting the fight for us. We have to get involved in whatever way we possibly can so that we can make a difference in the world around us. Going to work every day and coming home and relaxing is not going to change the situations that are going on in our society. You have Donald Trump telling everybody that we need to be armed, and you think it's safe for African Americans or people of color to have a gun? We can't afford to have a gun because there's people out there who are willing to shoot us just on sight. So I guess what he must mean it's okay for white America to have a gun. I'm just saying to you that we got to take a stance and we got to put in place those things that would help us to have the voice that we have to be demand to be heard. It is time out for allowing things to happen to us. We have to be a part of making things happen and making changes. We're going to go to the phones because I want all of you to have the opportunity to share your thoughts and feelings related to this terrible situation, where 2 days in a row we've had African Americans executed in the United States of America. 2570, give us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Dr. Deborah Thomas, and I'm calling from Heathrow, Florida.
What is your thoughts to say on what is going on around our country?
Well, what is actually going on is very horrible. Being an aunt, being an advocate, being a mother, it truly hurts to see what happened and what is happening to our young African-American men. It's very sad. It's the point about it, in both instances, the one guy from last night, he was in the car with his seatbelt on. He clearly told the gentleman, he told the polygraph, the gentleman, that he had a concealed weapon and a gun. He had his seatbelt on. There was a child in the car. But before that, the gentleman the day before They had his knee in his chest. He was already down. He was compliant. Then you blankly shoot these men. There's no sense. But you're at home on administrative leave, and their parents are left to bury them.
And if you ill-equipped to take your time to determine what kind of force needs to be used, and you using the ultimate force all the time first, then you should not be a police officer. If you can't be trained to take your time to make sure what it is you see is what you see and what you're afraid of, then you should not be a police officer.
I totally agree 100% with you, James. I totally agree. It's totally remarkable. You can take a job, but then you are afraid of the people that you are to serve and protect.
It's just outrageous.
Alton Sterling's death was senseless. There was no reason for them to kill him. Then where's the gun? What made in both instances? What made it so that you feared for your life? From what I was told and from what I've read, there was no gun. They took keys out of his pocket, out of Alton Sterling's pocket. So what were you so afraid of? You know,
it's a psychological fear they have manifested in their own minds that they bring to the table that's killing young African-American men. And it's time for them, if they can't handle the job, to put the gun away and go home. And we have to demand that those individuals who are going to be out there protecting us have the ability to do the job properly.
But they go, they're supposed to go before they get a job, before they get to take this oath, they're supposed to take psychological training. They're supposed to take psychological training before they take this, it's called an oath.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to go to another caller, but stay in there and listen to us throughout the show. 1958. Give us your name and where you're calling from. 1958.
Good afternoon. This is Kathy Jones from California.
How you doing, Kathy?
How you feeling
right now? Well, just tell us what you're thinking as these things are transpiring.
Well, as you guys are talking, I'm feeling kind of sad because I myself have two sons. And I fear for them as they go about their day, you know, just the wrong word or the wrong situation, anything can happen. So it's really, I really don't have any words. It's just sad.
And for police officers to think it's just enough to say, I was in fear of my life. You know, to keep using that as a reason to fire your gun because you don't want to take the time to fully evaluate what is taking place, and you're killing and shooting innocent people.
Not just innocent people, innocent black people, because, I mean, we saw several times on TV where officers were in the presence of white men and women. And they did everything they could to have the person to put down their weapons, sit down on the ground. But the people still ran after the police, and they never did anything to them, anything at all, on multiple occasions.
And you're so right. They're so willing to de-escalate situations with other individuals, but always escalating it to the ultimate decision when it comes to people of color. And so often we are, and it has to do with something psychological and recognize in the country, we have to recognize that there's a problem.
Right.
There's a problem, and we can't continue to wait for a solution. We need a solution now.
Right. And I don't think it has anything to do with training, because all across America, everybody is trained the same. Everybody is given the test. It's, like you said, it's something else. It's a fear that they have when they come in the presence of certain individuals that allow them to think that they must pull their guns. I mean, but if we want to just really talk about what it is, it's the enemy. It's the enemy, the devil, and he's running rapidly and loose over this particular situation, over the killings that we see.
And we have to stand up. We have to stand up and support those groups that are out there on the front line fighting to keep this issue alive, so that we don't have to continually talk about this subject on a regular basis. It's getting out of control. I mean, I know, 5 or 6 different shows on police gunning down innocent people, and it's just getting to the point where we're dealing with it too regular and too often.
Yeah.
All right, remain out there, Kathy. We got some other callers. I want to give everybody an opportunity.
Okay.
2730, 2730. Give us your name and where you're calling from. All right, 7625. 7625. Give
Hello?
Us your name
Hello?
And where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, sorry, he had to unmute me. Yes, this is Aldrich from Lakeland, and I agree with the previous caller. It's just so sad. When I saw it, my heart was just broken, and I just felt like crying. And I said, you know, crying is not the answer, and I'm just tired of it. And oftentimes you have given us a call to action, and I said, you know, I have to act upon this myself, because as long as we keep having these killings, these murders occur, and we do not take action, it's going to continue. And the strategy is, I believe, that the more it occurs, we'll become numb to it. And once we become numb to it, you're talking about killings just uncontrollable, then it would be. Because if we think about the movies and just regular TV, some of the scenes and stuff that's available now where any child can see, that occurred over time. But what happened is they took inch by inch. And like I said, we didn't take action and we didn't stop it, so they took a little bit more. And that's exactly what's occurring now. And they are not being held accountable to de-escalate the situation in a manner. They're trained on it and they know how to do it, but they're not taking those steps to go from 0 to 100. And then always using the same excuse, I fear for my life. How in the world can you fear for your life if you have a person pinned down? Now, if you fear for your life with a person pinned down, you definitely don't need to be an officer, because you don't have what it takes to protect the society and the community in which you're serving. So I would ask all of us to do something in our own way, and what I plan to do is go ahead and write my representatives and just let them know that while it did not occur in Florida, I'm speaking up on behalf of just my fellow countrymen, and that, you know, something has to be done, whether it's against gun laws, police officers and their roles and responsibilities and accountabilities. But we have to stand up. If you get a chance, you on YouTube, it's The Last Poet. And they just talk about, you know, one of the YouTube item had about, you know, blacks, you know, what it is to be black. And the key piece of it is we have to stand. Black is beautiful. Black is powerful. But right now we have to stand. And it just hurt me. First of all, I thought it was disrespectful the way they showed that murder on television. And it was just that. I see killings, but it's when I'm looking at movies, because I know it's not real. But when I see a live killing in front of me like that, it's just heartbreaking to see it. My heart was just broken. I was just truly sad. But I'm not going to let my sadness just be in words. I'm going to take some action, and I encourage all of you to join me.
And that's exactly what we have to do. We can no longer sit back and just watch these things happen as though they're happening, and somehow we are immune to it. When you recognize that police officers have to know that their guns have to be a last resort in situations, and if they cannot take the time, what the threat is, before they use their weapons, then they need to not be on the police force. And when you talk about that Louisiana case, that man could have sprayed the man with pepper spray. He was right there at his face. So you can't not tell me that there was some other options that he had instead of taking out that gun and firing into that man's chest four times. You know, you blatantly executed that man. You had to know that that man was going to die as a result of your actions, and you did not see a gun. You did not see a gun. The man didn't have a gun pointed at you. So there were some other actions or options you could have taken, and in this case, they chose not to. And we got to demand that no longer are we going to tolerate police officers doing what they want to, when they want to, without there being any penalties for them. If you can't do the job, at the minimum, you need to be fired. When you take someone's life, you need to be held accountable, just like I would as a teacher. If I strangled a student in my classroom, I can't say, well, that's, you know, hey, the student swung at me or the student hit me first. Those are not going to be tolerated. And so we got to make some, we got to stand up and make sure that these people understand that we're not going to continue to live in a world where our children and our relatives are gunned down in the street by police officers. 9702. 9702. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Natalie Jackson. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
All right. Well, tell us what your heart is thinking at this time in regards to these incidents.
Well, I mean, I think that we see them over and over again, and it is really time for some really substantial and substantive action. And this is the perfect time to have that action because we're in an election year. Time to demand that the execution of black men by a government entity be addressed. And that's what I'm calling it. I'm not calling it cop killings anymore because it is the government-sanctioned killing of black men because police officers are employees of the government. So unlike gun control or anything else where we don't have, too much to get a hold of, police officers, we can get a hold of them because they work directly for our politicians. So if we hold our politicians accountable for the actions of the police officers, we will see less of these killings. That's the bottom line. This is a top-down leadership problem. So in this political year and in this political season, this is the time to bring change and to help black men and black families to stop being killed by police officers. That's the bottom line.
And let me just ask you this question. Now, we all have a certain level of intelligence related to numbers, and we clearly know that the white population outnumbers the black population. But why is it that white America refuses to understand, why is it that you're killing so many African Americans by police officers, white police officers, but certainly we don't hear the number of black police officers shooting white unarmed white people at the same rate? I mean, why isn't that so clear to people that here you have understandably fewer black police officers on duty, but there are a lot of white criminals or people, white innocent people, who are not being killed by black officers?
I think people do understand that, but it's not their priority. If it doesn't happen to you and if it's not affecting you, it is not your priority. That's human nature. That's not just white or black.
And for them to suggest, when we have groups like Black Lives Matter and they want to come back and say, well, all lives matter. Of course all lives matter, but the black lives are the ones that are being impacted on a daily basis.
I agree with that, and I think that with the All Lives Matter people, I haven't really heard that cry since these two shootings, and I think that I don't think we will hear it very much since these two shootings, because this is the first time that we've actually seen people die on film and on video. This is the first time we saw Eric Garner, but we didn't see it as graphically as blood and bullets and shots and screams, and that's what we have seen on these videos. These are hard to deny videos, and for change in America, they came at the exact right time. I really applaud the sister who sat there so calmly and it described for America what was happening to her in that instance when her boyfriend was shot by the police, Philando Castell. And I think that it is a moment like that that becomes a defining moment for people. And here we have, in Orlando, we have a chance to elect our first black state attorney and the first black state attorney ever in the state of Florida. Why has there not been a black state attorney in the state of Florida? Those are the questions that we have to ask. Those are leadership questions. When you have Aramis Ayala running for state attorney, you know, why aren't we supporting her? Those are the type of changes that we can have. When there are more people that look like us on the side of police officers, state attorneys, prosecutors, that's when we change the system.
You are so right. We're going to take a break. We're at the halfway point, and we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and finish this conversation about what it is that we need to do to effect change and make people understand that we can no longer sit back and be quiet. Our voices have to be heard and heard loud and clearly so we can stop the murdering of our children in the streets of the United States. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And even as a man, comply, comply, comply. We were worried about this. He was worried about this. He had said, maybe I shouldn't be carrying this gun, even though I have it legally, because maybe they'll shoot me first and ask questions later. I hear that from parents, rich, poor, urban, rural, all over this country. Your own kids, you're blessed with beautiful children. Is that something that even D.L. Hughley has to deal with his kids with, about boy and girl? You
Bill
have to
Cosby
treat the cops
it.
A certain
Bill Cosby
way.
Lost the son to Godfather. Every parent that I know, every black or brown parent I know, has a conversation with their children where they tell them exactly to act, how to act around the police. That is abhorrent. That is immoral. Every parent I know. My biggest fear, my son who's a millennial, and you know they don't have jobs, so they obviously have to live with me. But I don't even go to sleep till my children come home at night. My grown children come home at night. I keep my clothes on, and my wife will tell you, I keep my clothes on in case my children need me in the middle or in the middle of the night. And I just do not understand. We love our children. We love our parents, our mothers, our fathers. They're brutalized, and nobody says anything. It's too much. It's too much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that we have to do something. We have to make things happen. Again, we cannot wait to have things in place that we need to make our voices heard. We need to support those organizations, those entities that are out there trying on the front line to keep our voices clearly heard. And that's what Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is about, being the vehicle that will be there for you to call in and have your voice heard. Have your feelings shared with those others so that we can become one. We have to support organizations like Black Lives Matter. We have to be ready and prepared to do what Audrey talked about, is writing our congresspeople, letting them know that we're no longer going to tolerate that blood, the blood of colored individuals being spilled in the streets. We have to stand up and give account of ourselves. We cannot continue to live if these things are not happening. I'm going to go back to the phone lines and allow you another opportunity to share your thoughts and your feelings. We want to make sure that none of this is done in vain. Those two black young men died, and we cannot bring them back, but it will not be in vain. 2570. 2570, are you still there? All right, I want to make sure that I give all of you an opportunity to have your voices heard, to share your thoughts, because this is where your thoughts need to be shared, and we need to come together and make sure we act in a way that allows us to not sit back and relax. This is not the time to do that. 3766, 3766, give us your name and where you're calling from, and what are your thoughts on these issues?
Hi, I'm Regina Williams calling from Columbia, South Carolina. And which specific issues are you addressing at this point in your show? Because I'm tuning in late.
Well, we're talking about both of the murders that took place and the deaths that continue to take place at the hands of police officers who are not, don't seem to be able to do their jobs properly.
Okay. Disconcerting to me, or very interesting to me, is that these police officers seemingly have no regard for what they are doing. It's as if they're just trigger happy. And I think what has happened is that a precedent has been set by there being no conviction. And only receiving, families only receiving their just reward in civil court. And that civil court, that's when the families receive money. So it seems as though folk are just believing that these black families are only, money hungry, and that their own families' lives do not matter either. I believe once these cases against these police officers are tried in criminal court, and these police officers are held accountable criminally for what they are doing, then we will start seeing different action. But right now, the civil court decisions are not even coming out of the individual police officers' pockets. It's coming out of the coffers of the state, of the cities, and so it's not really hitting the police officers hard so that they will think a second time, take second thought before they commit these crimes.
And you're so right. It's actually coming out of the taxpayers' money. Taxpayer money is being used to satisfy these judgments, and these police officers are getting off scot-free. And most of the time, they're being able to keep their jobs. And it is just unthinkable that you could say that every 28 minutes, there's an African-American being shot. I mean, it's just a ridiculous statement. And it's ridiculous all the way around that we got 30,000 people dying from gun violence, and our police officers are a big part of that gun violence.
Well, what I've been thinking about is how during slavery, how the masses would publicly whip, publicly beat the slaves. That was to instill fear into the heart of the other slaves who may not have had the courage that these slaves who were being beaten had. So that helped the slaves who were not being beaten to have a certain amount of fear. And that is what is occurring right now. We as African Americans, we are becoming fearful, and we are afraid to speak up. We're afraid to even get stopped and show that, hey, I'm not in violation of anything. And it's as if someone is doing this to put us into a certain amount of fearfulness, to hold us down. And it is truly working because our African-American young boys, they don't know what to do. The women, the second fella who was killed, this woman was right there in the car. And I must say she's an extremely articulate African-American woman. Extremely articulate. So what is it that we're, I mean, we stand up, we rally after each incident. What, it has to come from the top now. Has President Obama given any type of response yet? And I can promise you that something's coming from it.
I have not heard it yet, but Regina, you stay out there. Let me go back to some of the other people to see if they have some thoughts that they'd like to express. 1958. 1958. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us this evening?
No, James. I'm just listening right now, but thank you so much.
All right. 2730. 2730. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us this evening?
Just a reminder that we all have an opportunity to do something. More, I like the dialogue. I like the fact that we have passion. But, I mean, every time if we keep doing the same thing over, we're going to get the same result, which we are. So I encourage everyone to do something, whatever it is, write a letter. Someone mentioned earlier about this being the season because of the election year. Absolutely vote. And vote and understand what that person will do as it relates to helping us as a people. And then not only vote yourself, get others to go along with you to vote or at least ensure that they vote as well. But this is truly a time to act. I've experienced all these recent killings that have been brought to the forefront. But for me to witness a murder on the news, that's my breaking point. All of us have a point in which, it's a breaking point in which we'll take action, and that one was mine because if I watch a movie, I know that it's not real, and that's what I watch it for. It's a movie. But for real life, and someone said it earlier, and I thank you for putting it in perspective that way, this is modern day lynching. How dare you show a death like that on TV? How dare you do that? I'm sorry, I just have to do, I will do something again. I will put my letters out. I will ask members that associate with me to do the same or at least do something, and I encourage all your listeners, James Deshay, to do the same. And thank you for the opportunity.
And one of the things I need to make loud and clear is it's not just the murders. Those are the ultimate disrespect of humanity. But when we see our young people being beaten, when we see them being kicked and maimed and hurt by these officers, we need to scream about that as well. We cannot allow one officer to go without being rebuked for the evilness that we see them to display on humanity. And I don't. It is up to us to make sure that we do everything we possibly can to support, again, those organizations, those radio shows that are out there supporting us, because they have to be in place for us to do what we need to do when these things happen. We have to recognize that these men are not changing. These officers have seen the stories of other officers, and they still are doing the same thing. They're not taking the time to make the right decisions, the right choices. They're violating the humanity of these human beings by wasting their blood on the ground of the United States of America. And they not need to be placed in jail. They need to change the behavior by telling them when they do these kinds of things, they're not going to be paid, and their jobs are going to be in jeopardy. They're going to be risking their freedom by going out there and violating the humanity of people of color. And we have to speak with one voice and make sure that our voices are heard in a fashion that they cannot be ignored. And this is the place that you can do that. And we have to make sure that we support, again, those organizations like Black Lives Matter. We support radio shows that allow our voices to be heard so that we can impact our society. It is time out for letting these people get away scot-free. And that's what's happening. There are too many of them that walk away from this situation and have 30 to 60 to 90 days with pay and come back to a job after our loved ones have been buried. And we can't not allow this to continue. We have to demand that we get better treatment. 9702, are you out there? 9702. All right, we're going to take our last break, and we're going to come back and finish up the show. But I want to give all of you the opportunity to say your final piece. Understand that we have to be called to action. All of those of you who've been with me over this year-long journey, we need to recognize that this show and this network has to be used to make sure that people fully understand the pain they're causing in the lives of United States citizens of color. We can no longer tolerate our future being murdered in the streets of America. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back to finish out the show.
What allegedly was supposed to be a broken taillight. When he let us know that we had a broken taillight, he asked us, were we aware of it? We said no. As we said no, he tells us to put our hands in the air. We have our hands in the air. As our hands in the air, he asked for license and registration. My boyfriend carries all his information in a thick wallet in his right side back pocket.
Listen.
As he's reaching for his back pocket wallet, he lets the officer know, officer, I have a firearm on me. I begin to yell, but he's licensed to carry. After that, he begins to take off shots. Don't move. But how can you not move when you're asking for license and registration? He was never a bad man. He never did anything to hurt anyone. He was the quietest, most laid-back person you will ever meet. He was loving. So even for the police to take him away, nothing within his body language said intimidation.
Listen.
Nothing within his body said, shoot me. Nothing within his body language said, kill me, I want to be dead.
Right.
He did not do nothing but what the police officer asked of us, which was to put your hands in the air and get your license and registration. They left him sitting in the car after they shot him. Nobody touched his pulse, nothing. The police officer that was on my side walked away to call for backup, and the police officer that shot him was still standing there
with his
gun still drawn after he was shot. I chose to allow the video to go live 10 seconds before my phone died because I wanted everybody in the world to see what the police do and how they roll, and it's not
right.
It's not acceptable. I didn't do it for a pity. I didn't do it for fame. I did it so that the world knows that these police are not here to protect and serve us. They are here to assassinate us. They are here to kill us because we are black.
Murderer.
We don't support each other enough, so they feel like they can take us off.
Murderer.
And it's not okay. A good man, a 35-year-old man, worked for St. Paul Public School, never been fingerprinted, never been handcuffed.
His son,
he has been taken away from his community. No one deserves it.
This can't go on. I know that the majority of police officers come to work every day to do their job, to protect and serve, and then go home. but there are too many police officers out there that seem to be prepared and ready to fire their weapons and to kill people of color without thinking about it. It is clear to me that they live on the same earth that we live on. They see the same report that we see. But these men are coming to work prepared and mentally able to gun us down in the street without cause. And again, I'm not talking about all of them, but there's enough of them that we are seeing these statistics of these murders day after day after day. At what point do we stand up in a fashion that does not allow them to have peace, that does not allow them to continue to work for these organizations after they've gunned down people of color in the street? They need to be placed in handcuffs, put inside of patrol cars, taken to jail, and incarcerated for these murders of innocent lives. I am a supporter of justice and the law. I am in support of honest, hardworking, God-fearing police officers who try to do their jobs every day in a fashion that they respect citizens. But these men aren't respecting citizens. They're not respecting humanity. They're gunning people down in the streets like it's a game. And at some point in time, we have to recognize them. We need the leadership to recognize them before they get to this point and take their badges away from them. There should not be any safe haven for police officers who are willing to kill innocent people in the streets. We cannot stand by when judges and juries give freedom to people who have murdered unarmed African Americans, people of color. We have to be prepared and ready to see this thing through. I'm asking you and calling you to action to support Black Lives Matter, support radio shows and radio networks that are here for you. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is here for you. Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network is here for you. This show will be on 7 days a week to discuss those things that are important in the lives of United States citizens. And we need your voice heard loud and clear so that we can make an impact on the society that's around us. We can no longer sit back and fat cat it as middle class individuals and watch the world pass us by while people are out there murdering our aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews. No person deserves to be executed by the police in their community. It's time to put a stop to it, people. It's time for us to recognize that without our intervening, these kinds of things will continue. If we allow people like Donald Trump to come into office saying every citizen needs to get guns, but he doesn't mean every citizen. He means all the white citizens. He doesn't mean people of color. He wants to go back in time where they have all the guns and the weapons, and we can't carry them because we're not allowed to. And we're not allowed to when police officers are willing to shoot us down in the street without cause. Neither one of these situations required deadly force. At no point was a gun being pointed at either of these police officers. But they gunned these men down at point-blank range while citizens watched and while a man's girlfriend and child sat there and saw someone they love die at the hand of a police officer with little or no intervention. These officers go home and they fat cat it and talk about what it is they did. And again, I'm not talking about all police officers. I'm talking about those ones who are so quick and so afraid to do their job that they shoot first and ask questions later. It is time for us to make a change. It's time for us to change the direction and the environment that these people exist in. We have to continue to yell and scream and let people know that we're not going away. We're not going away, and we're going to demand proper treatment. Now, if these officers who did these two murders are not prosecuted, then we need to continue to scream and yell so that everyone knows that our voices will not be lowered until these murders stop or these men get locked up. Time out. Now, I want you to email me at djames82@aol.com. Let me know what it is you're thinking. I want you to call me at 407-394-9819. I want your support. I want you to be prepared and ready to fight this journey with me as we go through these years and months and weeks talking about the things that are important to us, talking about the things that we have to change and we need to highlight to make our lives better. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Now, please go to my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, www.jamestdeshay. We'll be back 8 o'clock on Saturday evening to continue our discussion about what direction we want our world to go in and what part will we play to correct what is going wrong in our country. I will see you on Saturday at 8 p.m. Take action. Good night.
Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309. Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867. And Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.